A leading geriatrician and the clinical lead for the HSE's National Stroke Programme has highlighted the manpower shortages, lack of resources and staff burnout in the health system to treat people living with stroke and other neurodegenerative conditions. Professor Ronan Collins was among the speakers when a delegation from the Neurological Alliance of Ireland addressed TDs and senators last week, and we'll talk to Professor Collins shortly. And while strokes are generally associated with older people, they can happen at any age. Emma Ryan lives in Waterford with her son Jack. She was just 31 when she suffered a stroke in February of last year. She's been speaking to our reporter Kieran Dineen about what happened and her experience with health services since then.
I went to bed one night really dizzy, and I woke up the next morning. I felt dizzy still. I felt like I was going to get sick. I tried to make it to the bathroom. When I got to the bathroom, I couldn't get sick, and I lay back on the tiles in the bathroom, and I could feel my mouth kind of foaming up and all the left side going weak.
So the surgeries were a success. How have you felt in regards to your healthcare treatment since then?
Not great. It's not consistent, and I don't really have much faith in the system. I was moved back to Waterford after 4 days from Cork. The service in Cork was absolutely brilliant. I was moved back to Waterford, and obviously I had to do physio to learn to walk again. And it's really frustrating. My consultant is a geriatrician. I haven't seen a neurologist since February 2023. When I was discharged from hospital, the Home First team saw me. The physio saw me twice. The OT saw me once. It took about six or 8 weeks. It could have even been longer when primary care got involved and I was doing physio with them and speech therapy. The perception is if you can walk and you can talk and you can kind of be anyway independent, then you should be grateful and just go off and live your life. But everything gets better and then it gets worse again. So I think a neurologist would be really important, because at least then they can tell you the reason why things get worse and things get better. You're left home from hospital and that's it. My consultant saw me in November and is not seeing me for a year.
Professor Ronan Collins, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And we heard Emma there outlining her experience. She's a young woman of 31 when she suffered that stroke. Now, you're among the authors of the National Stroke Strategy. It runs for 5 years up to 2027. And you wrote yourself in the foreword to that strategy that it seeks to ensure stroke units are properly staffed and not just signs over doors. But what's the reality for stroke victims in Ireland?
Well, the reality is that I suppose I'll speak first of all maybe as a private doctor this morning, a private individual doctor rather than maybe head of the programme. But I will give my reflections on a couple of things. I say that for good reason because I haven't consulted with colleagues before coming on this morning. But I would say as in general terms, the speed of implementation is not good enough. I take obviously a view on that as to why that is. One of the problems we have is that we don't have a commitment, despite the fact that this strategy was asked for by the then minister and now Taoiseach, Simon Harris, and is in the programme of government, to be fair to him, but we still have not protected funding in order to implement this strategy. And in fact, we've had very little funding. We basically have managed to cobble together funding from various sources or end of budgets where money's left over, but we've got no commitment actually to protected funding to implement the strategy. I might hasten to add, because you know people are used to talking in trillions when it comes to health almost these days, but our strategy is costed at a very cost-effective 37 million over a five-year implementation period. And it was written like that on purpose. For the lifetime of one government, it's not going to achieve everything we want to achieve in stroke, but it will achieve a lot and it will be very cost effective. In fact, if we implemented the strategy, we would save bed days and we would save money actually to the health service. But going back to Emma's story, and I'm delighted, number one, at least that she survived what sounds like a very serious event. And the second thing to say is that allied to our stroke strategy is a neurorehabilitation model of care, which must be implemented because it meets the more longer-term needs of patients. And Emma hit on a very important point in her story, is that sometimes you get better, but then you will get worse again as you try and go back to your working life, you try to go back to your hobbies life, and your own domestic and life and personal life, and then problems often arise. And one of the reasons the pillar in our stroke strategy, our second and our third pillar, is called rehabilitation and restoration to living, because we want people to get back to full life. But that means that our neurorehabilitation model of care needs to be implemented alongside our stroke strategy.
So what is missing at the moment, Professor Collins? And you highlighted at that meeting last week a shortage, you said, of speech and language therapists. And you heard Emma there talking about having, you know, just one appointment in several weeks and so on. She talked about physio not being available as she felt certainly it needed to be available to her in the weeks after her stroke.
No, agreed. I think the shortage is right across the board in terms of staffing of our stroke units. We identified ourselves in the stroke strategy that we would need to get the bones of 150 extra health and allied social healthcare professionals in our stroke units to bring us up to guideline staffing.
How many did you get?
Well, I haven't got many so far. We got 24 last year and then we lost 14 of them in the moratorium. And I suppose one of the problems is that you need to have commitment to protected funding, and also to realise that if this is a national strategy written by professionals at the request of a senior minister of government, that strategy needs to be implemented. The risk of not doing that is to create to some form of dissonance, really, between senior, I suppose, healthcare staff and our political implementers of healthcare policy. And I think that's a very unhelpful place to be, because we do need to work in partnership. Politicians often ask us for clinical leadership, and then when we give it voluntarily and sit down and write, and it takes a lot of work to write a strategy, to cost it, to look at epidemiological trends, to forecast what's likely to happen. And in our stroke strategy, if you read it, we'll see even try to forecast what's going to happen in areas so we can put in the necessary resources. Then it's very important that on the other side of that agreement, that the government say, well, listen, we do promise we will implement your recommendations, or at least sit down and agree how we're going to implement them together. Yeah. And that funding hasn't been happened. I will say one word about the moratorium. I think it's important to realise it's a very blunt instrument. It was a blunt instrument, and I understand the fiscal need to keep maybe a cap on manpower, to critically review how manpower expands within the health services. But this moratorium is a very blunt instrument, which is affecting our ability to staff stroke units. So there's some stroke units now that have no speech and language therapists. We already knew that in the Irish National Audit of Stroke Care, that less than 50% of the recommended therapy time has been provided to our patients. One in three of our stroke patients do not get into a stroke unit bed because we do not have enough designated stroke unit beds. And this is an unacceptable level of care to me, obviously professionally as a doctor working on the ground. And you mentioned my point about burnout. And the point about burnout I was trying to make is that, and we do have to ask the question, our state produces enough nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists from our colleges. Why is there a manpower shortage? And in my view, some of it is that our working environments are not good enough. Our staffing levels are so poor that it leads to extra stress on people. And one of the things, as I was keen to point out to politicians, what causes burnout is the moral injury of leaving work day after day after day, feeling I did not do the best I could, I did not do what I was trained to do, and feeling kind of, if you like, morally injured by that. The accumulation of that over years leads people to burnout and to leave the system. And we have many, unfortunately, of our talented young healthcare professionals. Everybody should go over maybe for a year or two for experience and bring back extra knowledge, but they're leaving and not returning, and that's worrying
but
to us.
Professor Collins, you're the clinical lead leading out on this stroke strategy.
Mm-hmm, I am. I take responsibility for it.
And as you say yourself, that the failure to implement it, and you're blaming government for the failure to implement it, but where does that leave you as the clinical lead here?
Well, it's a good question. I'm trying all avenues. Obviously, I advocate within the HSE myself to make sure I try and secure funding. I do my best politically. One of the reasons for speaking at that Dáil forum is to try and get the politicians refocused on it. I have positioned the strategy in a way with my colleagues. We wrote this together. It's not just my strategy. It's from the stroke community. We wrote it in such a way that we felt would be understandable to politicians and to commissioners of healthcare. We wrote it in such a way that we felt it could be implemented over 5 years, that it wasn't unrealistic. We got it positioned within the programme of government. So, you would be thinking, having done all that, that the implementation phase should follow smoothly onwards. But without funding, we've put together an implementation group of all sectors involved in the stroke strategy, including the public and patient representatives. Emma would be delighted to hear. But without funding, you can't start to implement the strategy.
Will you stay in the job?
Well, I'm not one for giving up easily. I do believe you have to show a certain amount of resilience and perseverance. But of course, there comes a time where you feel, for example, maybe someone else might be better. It's time to give someone else a go. But I'm committed to trying to get this implemented. I think we will get it over the line. I think I should say, in all fairness as well, to my colleagues who work out there, because we have made progress despite the lack of baby funding. And there's been a huge reduction in stroke mortality from almost 19% down to about 9%. Okay. And so we have made huge progress too.
Professor Ronan Collins, thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning.